To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the 20th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, beginning there in the first verse as follows. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, "Why have you been standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive." So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good?" So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who faithfully displays his love toward us, despite our many sins, dear fellow redeemed. We Americans are people who, for better or for worse, have become very familiar with labor conflicts. Hardly a day goes by when we don't hear something about some union trouble, workers demanding better pay or better benefits, management complaining that they can't make a profit if they have to give in to labor's demands. Right now, the teachers' union, as you know, is on strike against Tacoma Public Schools. And if it's not the teachers, then it's the airline pilots. And if it's not the airline pilots, then it's the Boeing machinists or somebody. A few of these groups probably deserve a better deal than they're getting. I think most of us would like to see teachers make more money, if anybody does. On the other hand, I think a lot of us think that NBA players are already getting too much money. At any rate, there's one thing nobody questions. Labor is based on merit. People ought to get a fair wage for the work that they do. And if they don't, it's only right that they put in for more. It's an idea that is part of our American fiber and philosophy. We take it for granted. But there's one place where the labor laws are very different, and that's in the vineyard of the Lord. That place is topsy-turvy from any union shop you've ever heard of. If you're a Christian, that means that you are one of the laborers in Christ's vineyard. So you'd better make sure you're familiar with how the vineyard works. In our text for today, Jesus teaches us a few things about the strange labor laws of God's vineyard. Workers here can't demand anything. On the other hand, workers here can receive everything. Jesus sometimes had a hard time getting his point across to people. In fact, even his own disciples sometimes misunderstood what he was trying to tell them. So one of the teaching devices he used, as you know, was that of parables. Parables, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, very often centered around some very common, well-known part of everyday life, but always contained a profound spiritual truth. Jesus told the parable of the workers in the vineyard because of a question that had come up, a question that was asked by Simon Peter, a very natural question. Peter said, Lord, we 12 disciples have given up everything to follow you. Our money, our possessions, our jobs. What special reward will we get for that? Very natural question. But Jesus saw that there was something Peter didn't understand about the kingdom of God. That's why he told this parable. It starts out, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." In the parable, of course, God is the landowner, and the Christians are the workers in the vineyard, and the vineyard is the kingdom of God. So far, so good. That's the kind of picture we can all identify with. We are all workers in God's vineyard. That makes sense. From there on, though, the parable sounds like no other workplace that we've ever heard of. Jesus is telling us that if we want to be workers in his vineyard, we should understand that things are a lot different there than they are in the other workplaces that we're used to. The labor laws here in God's vineyard are unique, to say the least. In the first place, unlike your standard union shop, workers here can't demand anything. There's no such thing as collective bargaining with God. And the main reason for this is obvious. It's because God doesn't owe us anything. In the parable, the workers in the vineyard were hired at different times during the day. Some of them were hired first thing in the morning at 6 o'clock a.m. More at the third hour, 9 a.m. More at noon, more at 3. And finally, a few workers were hired at the 11th hour, or 5 o'clock p.m., even though quitting time was at 6. One denarius, a day's wages, was promised to the early workers, and the other ones were just told, you'll get what's fair. And when the quitting whistle blew, what was paid out to each man was one denarius, a day's wages for a common laborer. And that's the point at which some of the laborers thought that it was time to raise an objection. There was something basically unfair about this level payroll plan. And they felt like now was the time to trot out their demands. And who was it that complained the loudest? Naturally, it was those who had been hired first, those who had been out there working since the crack of dawn. When they came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? This has something to do with us. You know, I think most of the people I see sitting before me this morning are what you would probably call heat of the day Christians, isn't it true? Most of us were baptized as infants. Most of us have been coming to church since we were little children. You may not realize it, but that puts you in a very high-risk group. You're exactly the kind of people Jesus is talking about here, people who are likely to become complainers and demanders. We've spent our whole lives trying to behave the way God's children ought to behave, supporting the church with our money and our time, struggling to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, trying to witness our faith with our neighbors and the people that we know. Maybe you've only said it in your mind, but you've probably said it. I've tried to be faithful. Doesn't that count for something? Don't I have a little extra coming? Don't all those years of Christian service entitle me to a little bit more? But remember, this is God's vineyard, not some union shop in a factory somewhere. There's no seniority system here. The reward of faith is the same for all workers in God's kingdom, regardless of their term of service. Some people come to faith as infants through the sacrament of holy baptism, some as young adults, some as middle-aged people, and then there are a few who don't come to faith until the very last part of their lives. Can you think of an example from Scripture? What about the thief who spoke to Jesus from the cross? A career criminal, Somebody who had wasted his entire life on wrongdoing, and now only a couple of hours stood between him and eternity. He said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Christ respond to him? "No, sorry about that. You waited a little too long. You should have thought of that long ago." No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." There's no such thing as seniority among Christians. The labor laws of God's vineyard don't go according to how long you've been laboring or how much you have earned. And it's a very good thing it doesn't. Because if God gave us only what we've earned, we'd be in deep trouble. For what is it that you think you might have earned, do you suppose, by all the harsh words you've spoken to your spouse or to your children? What do you think you've merited by the commandments that you've broken, not once or twice, but time without number? What is owed to you by God in your estimation for the impure thoughts that you've allowed to linger on your mind, for the laziness that you've exhibited in the performance of your Christian duties, for your utter indifference toward and sometimes outright denial of the Savior who bought you with his blood? If you're like me, the answers to those questions are only too easy to provide. With Martin Luther, we must confess that we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. So how do you feel now about demanding your rights from God? Do you want to be like those assertive workers who put their foot down and demanded their reward from the master of the vineyard? Do you really want to stand before Christ on Judgment Day and demand that he give you what you've earned? Me neither. One thing is crystal clear, that as workers in God's vineyard, you and I can't demand anything. But you know, there's a difference between demanding something we think we've earned and receiving something as a free gift. We have no right to demand anything from God, but the good news is that unworthy sinners though we are, we can receive everything from him. Paul reminds us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But how does it go on? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And the key word in that passage, of course, is grace. Our confirmation students learn that the definition of grace is undeserved love. Over and over again, the Bible keeps reminding you that you can't earn salvation no matter how many hours you've racked up in the vineyard of the Lord. Salvation is a free gift. The beautiful message of the gospel is that although we haven't in any way deserved the grace of God, he loves us anyway. In spite of your sins, your shortcomings, in spite of the unkind things you've said, the impure thoughts you've had, in spite of the times you may have taken too much, cursed too much, drank too much, prayed too little, praised too little, given too little, nevertheless, God loves you. Nevertheless, God traded his innocent son for you. Nevertheless, God laid your iniquity on him so that by his stripes you might be healed. Someone astutely observed that the entirety of the gospel can be summed up in that one word, nevertheless. What you and I deserved was hell. Nevertheless, God in Christ has given us heaven. Praise God for that wonderful nevertheless. And praise God for the strange labor laws of his vineyard. What other employer offers benefits like that? In any other business I've ever heard of, the only gift you ever get is maybe some little bonus at Christmas time. Last year in my secular employer, I got a cheesy set of screwdrivers. No, as an employee, everything you get, you really have to work for. As God's employee, everything you receive, even the very righteousness of Christ himself entitling you to heaven, is given you as a free gift. In the parable, the reward was one denarius. In real life, the gift God gives us of forgiveness and salvation is something that makes a $1 million a year salary pale in comparison. You have an ironclad contract with God. In it, he guarantees to grant you everything you need for salvation and eternal life, and give you complete security for this life while you're waiting to inherit heaven. All this he offers you for Jesus' sake as a free gift. The only thing he asks you to do is reach out the hand of your faith to receive it. In another familiar parable, you may recall, Jesus describes the welcome that we wretched sinners receive when we bring our sins to the foot of our Savior's cross and turn to him in repentance. The prodigal son arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Jesus ends his parable with an interesting comment. For many are called, but few are chosen. The gospel call has been going out for centuries. Many people have rejected that call completely. Some people have joined a Christian church, but with a completely wrong idea of what it means to be a Christian, thinking that a Christian is someone who gets ahead and earns God's favor by doing good works, someone who sweats in the heat of God's vineyard until he earns for himself a place in the heavenly mansions. How disappointed those people will be on the day of judgment when they learn that that's not how things work in the vineyard of the Lord. Yes, many are called, but few are chosen. Praise the Lord, my fellow Christians, that you are among the chosen ones. God has given you the faith to lay all your sins at the foot of your Savior and trust in him only for forgiveness and life. You know that in God's vineyard, workers can't demand anything. But you also know by grace that here the workers can receive everything. As we sing in that favorite old hymn, not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress. Helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Amen. Please rise.